Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Turvasu Stradita Pitra. Druyus Chanus Chabharata. Pratyachakur Adhamagya. Yanitye Nitya Buddhayaha. Tuvasu Shodita Pitra. Druyus Chanus Chabharata. Pratyachakur Adhamagya. Anitye Nitya Buddhayaha. Tuvasu Shodita Pitra. Druyus Chanus Chabharata. Pratyachakro Dhamagya. Yanitye Nitya Buddhayaha. Druyus Chanus Chabharata. Pratyachakura Dharmagya. Nitya Nitya Buddha. Vaishnavis. Turvasuhu. Turvasu. Another son. Choditaha. Requested. Pitra. By the father. To exchange old age. And invalidity for his youth. Druyu. Druyu. Another son. Cha, and Anuhu, Anu, another son. Cha, also. Bharata, O King Parikshit. Pratyachakyu, refuse to accept. Adharmagya, because they did not know religious principles. He, indeed. Anitye, temporary youth. Nityabuddhayaha, thinking to be permanent. Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, Yayati similarly requested his sons, Durvasu, Druyu, and Anu, to exchange their youth for his old age. But because they were unaware of religious principles, they thought that their flickering youth was eternal, and therefore they refused to carry out their father's order. We'll go to the next verse because there's no purport. Aprachatanayam purum vyayasonam gunadikam natvam agrajavadvatsa mam pratyakyatum arhasi. King Yayati then requested Puru, who was younger than these three brothers but more qualified, "My dear son, do not be disobedient like your elder brothers, for that is not your duty." Sri Purur Avacha, Konu Loke Manushindra Pitur Atma Krita Puman Pratikartum Shamo Yasya Prasadad Vindate Param. Puru replied, "O Your Majesty, who in this world can repay his debt to his father? By the mercy of one's father, one gets the human form of life, which can enable one to become an associate of the Supreme Lord." Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The father gives the seed of the body, and the seed gradually grows and develops until one ultimately attains the developed human body, with consciousness higher than that of the animals. In the human body, one can be elevated to the higher planets, and furthermore, if one cultivates Krishna consciousness, one can return home back to Godhead. This important human body is obtained by the grace of the Father, and therefore everyone is indebted to his Father. Of course, in other lives, one also gets a father and mother. Even cats and dogs have fathers and mothers. But in the human form of life, the father and mother can award their son the greatest benediction by teaching him to become a devotee. When one becomes a devotee, he achieves the greatest benediction because he completely averts the repetition of birth and death. Therefore, the father who trains his child in Krishna consciousness is the most benevolent father in this world. It is said, Janame Janame Sabe Pita Mata Pai Krishna Guru Nahi Mile Bhaja Hari Ai. Everyone gets a father and mother, but if one gets the benediction of Krishna and Guru, he can conquer material nature and return home back to Godhead. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Gnanjana Shadakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutade Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. first beg the blessings of the senior Vaishnavas, that I can speak appropriately on our Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta as given to us by Srila Prabhupada. So we are continuing with the story of Yayati regaining his youth. And the ninth canto is so powerful. We're hearing so many intense stories of great kings and great personalities becoming entangled in this material world. And we know that Yayati was cursed by Sukracharya because he was warned not to lay in bed with Sarmishta. And so Sukracharya cursed Yayati to become old and invalid. And so he started begging his sons that Sukracharya said that if one of your sons, they can switch their youth with you, then you can become youthful again. And so he went to the sons, and Keshavananda Prabhu gave a very nice class yesterday talking about how Yadu refused on the basis of his wanting to take seriously to Krishna consciousness. And then Yayati, in these verses, he goes to his other sons, Turvasu, Dhruvyu, and Anu, to exchange, but stated here that they thought that their flickering youth was eternal, and so they did not want to give it up to their father. So Yayati finally approached Puru, and he told him that, please do not act like your elder brothers. Please do your duty. And so Puru, in this verse of where Srila Prabhupada gives the purport, he's showing his gratitude to his father, saying that by the mercy of one's father, one gets the human form of life. So how can we possibly pay the debt to the father? Repay the debt to the father. So Puru is showing his attitude of gratitude in the circumstance. And Srila Prabhupada points out that the father gives the seed of the body, and the seed gradually grows and develops until one ultimately attains the developed human body. And the human body is so rare. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it says that one must traverse all of the 8,400,000 species of life until one gets to the human life, the human birth. And human birth is so rare and it's so powerful, because it's much different than the consciousness of the animals. The animals are completely immersed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But in the human form of life, atato brahma jigyasa, one can inquire into what is Brahma. One can inquire, what is spiritual life? Who am I? What is the purpose of this life? What is the purpose of this world? The human can ask questions like this and dive into answers through the shastras and through the sadhus and guru. But in animal life, one cannot. So the human form is so rare that it can give the highest benediction when it's taken properly. This human form of life can make us, enable one to become an associate of the Supreme Lord, is what Puru says. And so Puru is showing this gratitude, this attitude of gratitude for the father. And actually we see in spiritual life that one always has to have this grateful mentality, this gratitude. You know, even we have to be certainly grateful to even the demigods who are providing light, providing wind, rain, food. Just to be alive, there's so many things that can be happen to us that we should be grateful for every moment that we're able to take part in Krishna consciousness. And so this gratitude is very powerful. But in this day and age, we see that persons who are taking the post of father are not giving the best opportunity to their children. In this age of Kali Yuga, such a degraded age that nobody is being trained up properly how to be a father, how to be even a son. And so in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.18, it says that one should not become a guru, one should not become a demigod, one should not become a father, a mother, unless one can properly take their dependence back home, back to Godhead. But we see in Kali Yuga that there's Varna Shankara. There's unwanted population, which creates further unwanted population, creates further unwanted population. There's chaos in the society. Because nobody really knows what it means to be a father, to really take their dependent back home, back to Godhead. And we even see that Yayati, even he actually doesn't know what it really means to be a father, because he's wanting to take the youth of his son. He's putting his own selfish desires before that of his son's desires. He wants to rob his so-called child of his youth. And so Yayati is putting his own sense gratification before the welfare of his own son. And we see in another powerful example in Srimad Bhagavatam of Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was very much wanting Prahlad to become the demon king, to take over for him. But Prahlad, being a Mahabhagavat, was completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. And Hiranyakashipu literally tried to kill his own son because his son was getting in the way of his own sense gratification. And even in recent times, we have Raghunath Das Goswami, his father Govardhan Majumdar, who had immense opulence that we can't even think of in today's terms, wanted his son to also give up his own desires for Krishna consciousness and take to the family business. And so we see that in Kali Yuga, it's the same thing, that most fathers are very much into their own sense gratification rather than taking care of their father, taking care of their children. And in Vedic culture, children are seen as a blessing, but in Kali Yuga, children are seen as a burden. So the children these days, it's unwanted population. Srila Prabhupada mentions, though, that the best father is one who trains his child in Krishna consciousness. He's the most benevolent father to the world. And so there's a very wonderful pastime in Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know Raghunandan Thakur. For those who don't know who Raghunandan Thakur is, Raghunandan Thakur was the son of Mukunda Sarkar. Narhari Sarkar and Mukunda Sarkar, they are brothers. They were born in a physician caste. And Mukunda's son was Raghunandan. And Raghunandan was left to worship the deity. Mukunda Sarkar, he was actually the physician to the king of Bengal. Mukunda, he was such an amazing devotee that one day he was tending to the king, and the king was being fanned with a peacock feather. And Mukunda, upon seeing the peacock feather, seeing the peacocks, he fell unconscious due to remembering Krishna. In his ecstasy, he actually fell off the platform, and many thought that he had hurt himself. And so they rushed to him, and Mukunda just said, "Oh, it must have been some epilepsy." He hid his ecstatic symptoms. So Raghunandan Thakur, his father had to leave for some business, and so Mukunda Sarkar, he instructed his son how to worship the deity, how to offer bhoga. And so he offered the bhoga, and he begged the deity to come and eat. And he was just a simple child at that time, and the deity wasn't coming and eating. So he was begging and pleading and crying. And finally the deity spoke to Raghunandan Thakur, saying that, "Oh, I eat through glancing." And Raghunandan Thakur said, "I don't understand this. You have to, my father's going to chastise me. You have to take this prasadam." So the deity actually came. Thakurji actually came and ate the prasadam. This is the power of Raghunandan Thakur's devotion. And so later on, after one Rathiatra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met with the residents of Kulinagram, and they asked him, how do we serve the Vaishnavs? Who is topmost Vaishnav? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered. And then he turned his attention to the residents of Srikanda, of which the most famous residents of Srikanda are Narahari Sarkar, Mukunda Sarkar, and Raghunandan Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked, Mukunda, are you the father, or is Raghunandan the father? Is he the father, or you're the father? And Mukunda said that actually Raghunandan Thakur, he's my son, but he's actually my father. Because of his devotion, he has brought us all to Krishna. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that, yes, one who awakens devotion to Krishna is the spiritual master. And so even though materially Mukunda Sarkar and Raghunandan Thakur, Mukunda was the father, Raghunandan was the son, the roles were actually reversed. Raghunandan was the father because he had more devotion to Krishna. And so we see that the guru is just like the father also. We know that there are three different types of gurus, the Vartma Pradarshika guru, the Diksha guru, and the Shiksha guru. And all of them are the manifestations of Krishna to help us get onto the path of Krishna consciousness is the Vartma Pradarshika guru. The Diksha guru gives the mantra, initiates one into the practice of Krishna consciousness. And the Shiksha guru further elaborates on how to practice Krishna consciousness. And so just how here it says the father gives the seed of the body and the seed gradually grows and develops, so guru gives the seed of devotion, the bhakti lata bij, the seed of the devotional creeper. Brahmanda brahmate konya bhagavan jeev guru krishna prasade bhai bhakti lata bij. Living entities are in the samsara, this wheel of birth and death. Sometimes we're in the animal kingdom, sometimes we're in the heavenly planets, earthly realm. We're going from body to body to body, traveling all over this universe. And when we're really fortunate, bhagya, then we get the mercy of guru through Krishna. So we get the mercy of Krishna in the form of guru, and the guru gives us Krishna. In the bhakti lata bij, the seed, the creeper of devotional service, to really plant this in the heart, we have to be grateful, like Puru here. When you're sowing a seed, you need to make the soil very soft, very fertile. And that soil is going to become very fertile because of our gratitude. When we have that attitude of gratitude, then the seed can be planted properly. And then we have to take the instructions of the guru very seriously, watering that seed, but hearing and chanting, making sure there's no weeds, nothing coming up that can hamper the growth of that creeper, and very much take shelter of others who can help us maintain that creeper. And so Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tad vidi prani patena pari prashnena sevya upadek shanti te ganam ganinas tatva darshanaha. We must take shelter of a guru, submissively inquire from them and serve them. And there's some that say that, oh, we don't need guru. I can take to spiritual life on my own. But Srila Prabhupada says that actually those who think like this, it's like a ship without a rudder. You're not going to have any direction. You're not going to be able to steer properly. So guru is so important. And we can also see in the life of Srila Prabhupada how important it is that a father trains his child in Krishna consciousness. We read in Prabhupada Lilamrita, and even Srila Prabhupada himself speaks about how much his father was such a great devotee of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that his father would work until 10 o'clock at night, and then he would come home and do puja. Then he would wake up around 7, 8, take breakfast, do some duties. Then he would be engaged from 10 o'clock to 1 in puja, go to work, come back, do puja. And Srila Prabhupada says, actually, my father's real business was puja. He said every time we would hear him ringing the bell, ding, 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 ding. And Srila Prabhupada's father, you know, had high hopes of him becoming a preacher of Krishna consciousness, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. And his mother wanted him to go to England, become a barrister. But his father was saying, no, I don't want him to go to England, become spoiled with women and wine and all these things. And so his father actually arranged for him to learn Murdunga at such a young age that Srila Prabhupada says that he could barely put his hands on the Murdunga. And his mother was thinking, why are you doing this? And it's because he wanted Srila Prabhupada to be a preacher of Krishna consciousness. And any sadhu who came to their home, you know, Srila Prabhupada had mentioned that his father would bring sadhus to the home regularly to show his family how important it is to serve saintly devotees, to serve the saints. And so every sadhu that came, he would ask them, please bless my son that he can serve Srimati Radharani. And what to speak of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, such an amazing example of being a father and an acharya, teaching his children Krishna consciousness while maintaining a very strict work ethic and at the same time spreading Krishna consciousness. So the father that teaches, trains his child in Krishna consciousness is the most benevolent father in this world, and the guru is also father. Srila Prabhupada ends that everyone gets a father and mother. Even in cats and dogs, they have fathers and mothers. One gets the benediction of Krishna and guru, he can conquer material nature and return home back to Godhead. And Puru, in the verse here, he says that this human form of life enables one to become an associate of the Supreme Lord when it's taken properly. And so we should not take this Krishna consciousness cheaply. It's such a powerful philosophy that through the scientific process of Krishna consciousness, one can become an associate of the Supreme Lord. We know the five different rasas, Shantaras, Dasyaras, Vatsalya, Sakya, and Madhurya rasas. And so in what other philosophy can you actually become an associate of the Supreme Lord? So Srila Prabhupada has given us these books, and we'll listen to Keshavananda Prabhu tonight speak about Srila Prabhupada's books and how they give us everything. So Prabhu here is giving us this attitude of gratitude that one's father, how can we properly repay the debt to the father? But actually most of us are not born in Vaishnava families. And so actually we repay our debt to our parents by giving them Krishna consciousness if they do not have it. And as far as repaying the debt of the guru, Srila Prabhupada actually, in one purport I was reading, I believe is in Srimad Bhagavatam, that it's actually a laughing stock to think that one can actually repay the debt of the spiritual master. But we try to repay the debt to the spiritual master, to our father, by engaging in Krishna consciousness and trying to engage others in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there if anybody has any questions or comments. Rabindranath Prabhu.
Just that following of austerity of practicing celibacy so in life, then one actually becomes qualified to liberate one's children. I'm just trying to understand the meaning of that.
In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's 5.5.18, and the the verse says that one should not become guru. One should not even become a demigod. You know, one should not become father, mother, unless they can liberate the dependents. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada said that the Grihastha ashram is like a barren wasteland if one does not have children. And so if one is engaged in Krishna consciousness, trying to engage in Krishna consciousness, then one should have children for the propagation of Krishna consciousness and try to bring them up properly in Krishna consciousness. But if they can't, then yes, they should stay celibate. If they're unable to properly bring their dependents back home, back to Godhead, then they should stay celibate. For instance, even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said that he was celibate his whole life, but he said, if I could have 100 children and take them back home to Krishna, I would. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. 100 times, yeah. Okay. Andrea?
Thank you for such a nice class, Prabhu. You were saying that in Kali Yuga, parents don't know how to properly raise their children. I'm just wondering if that's limited to Kali Yuga, because I was just thinking of the pastime of like Daksha and Narada Muni, or even like Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah, it's not limited to Kali Yuga, but we see in Kali Yuga that the whole age is in such chaos that nobody knows how to act properly due to the dissolution of Varnashram Dharma, but also just to the age itself, such an age of degradation that everybody's meditation is their own sense gratification. Whereas in the previous ages, you know, you had the proper ashrams, you had the proper varnas. Also, you had systems set up to enable children to go to spiritual life easier. But in this age, we can see, and most of us have a practical example in our own lives, how parents are, in this day and age, are not really trained up to be parents. I mean, most of us, you know, it's kind of like the cliche of this age that most men are raised by their single mothers. You know, the father just leaves, you know. But yeah, in every age, it's possible. Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki.